Last week we were discussing Rabbi Yanki Vemden as being one of the strong adherents of the Archa Sadikim, where the Rabbi Yanki Vemden in his Sefer Migdalois, he quotes quite extensively from the Sefer Archa Sadikim. There's a section that deals with Zechira, that deal with memory, things about remembering. And Rabbi Yanki Vemden there quotes from the Shar HaZechira, which is one of the shiurim of the Orchis Tzadikim. It's interesting to point out that Yanki Vemden, of course, his father was the Chacham Tzvi, and Yanki Vemden, as we mentioned last week, was only once a Rav in the city of Emden. That's where he gets his name, Rabbi Yanki Vemden. And he signed his name, is known as one of the Svarim is called She'ilus Yavitz. That's where Yanki Vemden is known, because Yavitz is the Rosh HaTevis, or it's the makeup of Yaakov Ben Tzvi. Yavitz is Yaakov Ben Tzvi. His father was a Chacham Tzvi, so he used to sign Yavitz. Yavitz is Yaakov Ben Tzvi. Interesting is that the Chacham Tzvi used to sign Tzvi, because Tzvi is Tzvi Ben Yaakov. The Chacham Tzvi father was Yaakov, and he named his son after his father. So Yanki Vemden was Yaakov Ben Tzvi, and his father was Tzvi Ben Yaakov. So the Chacham Tzvi used to sign Tzvi, meaning Tzvi Ben Yaakov. And just in addition to the, you know, tremendous bekiyas that Rabbi Yanki Vemden had in the Shas, of course, and in Poskim also, he was very strong and great also in Teiris HaKabbalah. A lot of knowledge in Kabbalah, a lot of knowledge. Also, he had a knowledge in Digduk. He was very special also in the area of Digduk. As well, and he had mastered quite a number of languages, which is not something very common for a godel of his type of a stature. Among the various languages that he would speak, he spoke Latin, he spoke Dutch, and so on. He was a very, very prolific writer. It is almost had been said regarding Rabbi Yanki Vemden that one can imagine that any sefer that he ever learned, he always had a pen in his hand, because you always find notations on the margins, which means that automatically, instinctively, any sefer, he knew that he would have some comments to make. So one can imagine he always had a pen in his hand. As soon as he opened the sefer, so hand in hand, he would also have a pen there. Being that we are learning in the Orch Tzadikim, the Shar of Anova, let us mention that Rabbi Yanki Vemden in his parish to Mesechtes Ovis, in his parish to Mesechtes Ovis called Lechem Shomayim. So there Rabbi Yanki Vemden, he brings down in Perek Dalet, he brings the following. He says, Hoysoli, or Tasteli, he says, the Osa Uvdel Yoda, he says, I want you to really believe me, I should have the schus of telling you what happened to me. And he says the following, a very fascinating thing that he relates to Rabbi Yanki Vemden that happened to him. He says, Be'echo b'mdei brist, who did this to me was a Yid. I want you to know what I'm going to tell you, says Rabbi Yanki Vemden, something very fascinating that happened to me, and the one who did it to me was a Yid, but he was a Bozri v'shofel Moid, a very Nidrig Yid. A very Nidrig Yid, a very lowly Yid, he says, Mepchusei ha-hamoin. From the lowest, he said, Shekololani kelolun imbretzis, that he began to curse me, Moirdi geklolus. This Yid cursed me, kelolun imbretzis. Not only that, the Hirbola Hachlim Oisi, and he continued, right? He was marbet to embarrass me, Ulavazoisi, Bidvarim Koshim Amarim, with very difficult things to bear and to be able to tolerate. So this person was cursing me, and this person was embarrassing me to no end. He says, Yoirid Chadre Botin. The embarrassments were so that it went all the way down into the stomach. Viomali, among the things that he said against me, this particular Yid, he said, Shemuter u'mitzvah l'natik me'ay mekirba. It's a mitzvah to, right, to pull my kishkas out, to tear my kishkas out. V'lachtoich mibsari ritzuas, and to cut from my flesh, to make strips. As a sinner, right, that this person had to meet. And he said, v'adayin, he said, and even if we do this to you, he said, adayin lo yesh b'zidai lifi erach ma'is. According to what you are, he said, that wouldn't be enough. So in the day of everything that he said, whatever I said, he said, was still not enough to what you deserve. And he goes on to say, I never in my life did anything bad to this person. As a matter of fact, he said, I never met him. I don't know what he wants from me. So he says, Ukuze, Ukuze, Omar Bekiloloi. And he said, so on and so on. It means that wasn't enough, but I just gave you a dugma, he says, of what he did. Kuze, Kuze, and similar, and more similar. This is what basically he said against me in his clawless. But here's the godless. I was not in the spoil at all. Didn't have any effect on me. Then I nodded my head. I even was down on the cap. He says, "Omarti." I said, "Lefi machshavtoi toivos." According to his cheshem, he thinks he's doing the right thing. So not that he knows he's doing the wrong thing. I was down on the schus. Lefi, according to his machshav, he's doing the right thing. So he's cursing me and doing all these callous and all these shameful things against me. Lefi dimyoyne hamut, according to his false imagination, he says, "Huter loy domi." So my blood has become hefker. Umachalti loy, I was moichel him. This is a just tremendous thing that you see here, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, how he writes it himself in his Sefer, in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos, in Perik Dalet. He writes this particular thing that happened to me. So this is very much in tune, a little bit of chizik, you know, in the Shar Vanova that we are learning now in the Yorkes Tzadikim. I just want to point out, in fact, that the Chedor also writes a lot of great things about Rabbi Yaakov Emden, even though they were contemporaries, really. The Chidor writes, Ashipirio Yitin Bitoy Eit Soifer, he writes about, he said, the prolific pen that he had in writing. He says, Kinohar Shena Poisik, it's like a river that's never ending, just an endless river, a stream. So was the Koyach HaKsiva, he says, regarding Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And he writes that he was Marach Yomim Vishonim Al HaToyr V'Avodi Bekilis Altuna. Altuna, of course, which is right next to Hamburg, sort of somewhat, some look at it like a suburb of Hamburg. That was the community in those days. As a matter of fact, the Rav in those days, which was Rabbeinu Eibishitz, was the triple community. There's three communities that were together. And there's one Rav over three communities. And it's known the Rabbonim of Ehu, Aleph Hevov, Aleph is Altona, the He is Hamburg, and the Vov is Wandsbek. These are three communities right next to the other, but three different places. But Lamaisa, they were next to that, and there was one Rav presiding over all, until that later on, in the years that they split. But Lamaisa, they are still together, one next to the other, and the Rav of the community was over, it's called known as the triple community. And in the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, which basically this became, you know, a great classic, the Siddur of Yaakov Emden, and there is something that, you know, for years was something very, very special. A Yid was able to find in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Siddur, you know, Baruch Yom, today we have so many different Svarim, but in those days, the Siddur of Yaakov Emden basically was like a handbook, because it was not just a Siddur. Besides the fact, by the way, he was very makbid on punctuation. One of the things that he did in his Siddur, which he printed himself, by the way, in his own printing press, one thing that he did was to make sure that the Havara, that the Nekudis under the Yoysi, to pronounce them properly. It was very makbid, and we mentioned before, it's very bokeh and digduk. And therefore, sometimes the slightest change of the Nekudis and the vowels has a totally different meaning. And therefore, he was very makbid that he should say the way it is. It's interesting, Rav Moshe Bik, which many of you have known or heard of, certainly. He was a descendant of Yaakov Emden. He was very, very upset at one thing. Because many times over, Yaakov Emden's Siddur has been reprinted. And you'll find that Yaakov Emden printed in Nusach Sfard. So he says he was an Ashkenaz. He says he wasn't a Sfard. And Rabbi Akiva was always makbet exactly that the Nusach HaTfilah should be his way. You have a Nusach Ashkenaz also. But so what they have like a Nusach Sfard, he says, I'm very sure that he would be very makbet. Because he makbet, the davening should be according to a way. He believed in Nusach Ashkenaz, and that should be the way one should daven. Realize Nusach Ashkenaz goes back to the time of the Shoinim. Rashi daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And all this was the Nusach. So anyway, so Yaakov Emden, so he writes also very many halachas, very, very many halachas. So it's not just a sefer, it's not just a siddur for davening, if only that what it was, but there's also halachas regarding every aspect of Jewish life, and he put it in the proper places, because the Yaakov Emden siddur covers not only weekday davening, not only Shabbos davening, but also Shemoneh Esrei for Pesach, and the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So also he throws in halachas regarding Sukkos, regarding halachas of Pesach, and so on. There's a lot of Piskei Dinim. He has Tisha B'Av, he has 9 days, you know, things negaya to all of those areas. So again, so it was a very special sefer, because it was not just a siddur. One would have it like as a handbook for anything that you'd want to find out certain halachas. You basically look in there and you would find it. Just want to mention that he put in so much koyach in that siddur, which is known as the Rabbi Yaakov Emden siddur, that he, even though he had his own printing press, he actually had ordered, and or if you call it imported, to bring special letters, special letters for printing from Amsterdam. In other words, the regular letters that he had in his printing press, he figured was not maybe up to par on the level of the beauty of the oises, of the lettering, so he bestelt oises to be able to use in his printing press all the way from Amsterdam, to be able to use in his printing press in order to print that Siddur. And he said, the same way that a Sefer, who writes a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzas, if he leaves out one word, or he adds a word, or even a letter sometimes, he said you can destroy worlds, because there's so much, right, which it hinges upon, of course, every letter in the mezuzah, and every letter, of course, in Tefillin. So the same way he says davening, that's why he was very, he wanted to be very sure that you have the nusach that he believed was the right nusach to daven that way. And he said, therefore, a person should accustom himself to daven from my siddur, he says. He'll daven from my siddur, he'll know exactly the right words to say, he won't add and he won't detract. And he said, don't say anything about peh. Don't do any of the davening, he says, about peh, because everything that I wrote, he says, is bashgocha protis. It's a pun intended. What he meant was Ashgocha Protis, but also Ashgocha Protis means he was very makpid. He had Ashgocha Protis. He really was on top of everything that is written there in that Siddur. He says, even things that seem to be so insignificant, afilu mashinere koton ha'erech, even that which seems to be insignificant, it's not there just by chance. Every little detail, you know, every dot, everything that's in the Siddur, I was very makpid, it should be there. And he says, like he said, like Amiris, he says, psukim at the time of Hagbah. He says, some psukim. It says everything there exactly how he felt what should be said, and that's what I put in the Siddur. So again Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as we're mentioning, also gleaned from the Sefer Arche Sadikim, which he quotes quite extensively, and that gives us the opportunity, as we said here, to talk a little bit about Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So let's go, Rabbi. Let's take a look here at the Arche Sadikim. The Arche Sadikim where we are is on Daf Chof Zayin. The Tzaddikim we have is on Daf Chof Zayin. Hachamishi. You see where it says Hachamishi. Because we're in the middle where the Orech Tzaddikim was pointing out five areas which are symbolic of a person's anova. There are six areas. We're down the fifth, actually. We're down the Chamishi. Right? In so many different areas, so many different examples of where the role of humility and the role of Hanover comes into play. So we're here on Daf Chof Zayin, where he says Hachamishi. So he goes on to point out as follows. He says, Hachamishi. He says, what is the fifth area where a person's Hanover, right, becomes demonstrated? And that is if a person shows, Kishimoychiach es atzmoi b'meh she'osa rolo yodom. When a person actually reproves himself, he actually takes himself to task, when he feels that he did something bad to someone, either b'maisim, either in action, indeed, or b'dvarim, or with words. Chazikin points out that he's strong enough, right? He's big enough to be an onov. He's big enough to be an onov in order to feel that he has to give himself musar. He has to rebuke himself. He has to reprove himself for doing something wrong to someone, even though he has no need, and he does not anticipate any favors from that person. So it's not that he has a personal negiah, he has a personal stake, right, in trying to appease that person for no other reason, only for the fact to do what's right. He says, "Ve'inu tzorech lo yisa odom l'shum dover." He does not, the person that he afflicted is a person that really he does not have any need for him. He doesn't anticipate v'ni mekavel lekabel toivah memenu. He's not anticipating any favor from him. And yet, v'yelech ma'atzmoi, and he has the feeling to go by himself, b'li hafsoras acherim, without anybody's intervention. And nobody has to push him, go and ask mechila, go and ask for forgiveness. Nobody had to do it. He himself, even though he has no need to do it, he's not anticipating any favors. Then, as we said, u'vakish memenu mechila, nobody had to push him. But rather, he himself, u'machnia atzmoi melefonov, he himself is lowering himself in front of this person, umisakein, he says, es sheives, and he's trying to undo the wrong. Umedabaloi tachnunim, and he pleads with the person in a pleading way. He says, gamza, this is another area, he says, which is simen le'anova. This is another area which is a simen in anova. Again, because the person, of course, was a balgaiva, the gaiva will not allow him to admit and to go to someone and say, I sinned against you. Someone's gaiva will not let him to do that. A person who is able, so to speak, to lower himself and to go and to ask mechila from someone, even though he does not have any personal negias, he does not have any real reason. It's not that he expects in the long run, I might have to need some sort of a favor, and that's why, so I have to make shalom with him. No. He has no reason, personal negias, and no personal interest, but he realizes he did something wrong, and he's ready to admit it. That is the siman of anova. Well, Gaiva, not only he won't admit it, certainly he won't go pleading for mechila. And that's what Yochai Tzedukim says, that the true honor of it says, umadabalei tachnunim. He goes even as far as even to go to plead with the person, that in fact that he should forgive him. So this is the fifth area where a person's anivus comes out, as the Yochai Tzedukim points out. And finally he says, hashishi. Where is the sixth area where a person is supposed to be noyig himself, conduct himself with anivus? And that is sheyinag banova bidvarim rachim. It means this person should be soft-spoken. Anova, basically, if a person is anovah, is a person the way it controls the way a person speaks. Does not allow him to speak in a wild manner. But also he has to speak in soft words. That is symbolic of anovah. This, in fact, is anovah, he says. Kmo shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Shomelov says, ma'ane rach yoshiv chemo. Shlomo Melech says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Even if somebody might have something angry against you, but the way you respond with softness, you respond with calmness. Responding with calmness, a soft answer will turn away wrath. Yoshev Chemo. Just to stop for a moment and point out what the Ramchal says in the Sefer Mesilas Yeshorim. He says in Perek Chobeis, he says the following. He quotes a Chazal, that when a person speaks, it should speak benachas, speak in a calm way. And he brings the Pasuk in Kehelos. Pasuk in Kehelos says, Divrei Chachomim benachas nishmoim. Wise people who want to be heard, it's not by yelling and screaming. If you want to truly be heard, then it's really the substance and how you're saying it. The substance, of course, and how you're saying it. To say it, he says, in a way which is benachas, to speak in a calm way. And he says further, Mesilas Yesharim, Ramchal says that Tzorech, he says, Sheyiyu Devarav Divrei Kovod, to speak in an honorable way. V'lo Divrei Bizoyin, speak to someone, give him his respect that he deserves. And so on and so forth. These are the words. And I should might add the words of the Rambam, especially when someone is a learned person, Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham has all the more, has a double achrayus responsibility in the matter of how he speaks. Everyone has, but especially Talmud Chacham, because he stands for Torah, and people therefore are assessing his values. This is a learned person. This is a person who learns Torah. It's a chil Hashem that he makes to the Torah that he's learning. The Rambam says, as a matter of fact, he says in Hilchos Deis Perek Hey, Talmud Chacham lo yet soyek v'tzoveach b'shas diburei kibheimis v'chayis. Listen to Rambam. Talmud Chacham shouldn't yell and scream. He says like animals. Like be a koyle b'yosef, should not even raise his voice too much. No matter who he speaks to, should be benachas, says the Rambam. And this is basically here what the Yochai Tzedukim is telling us. So that certain this is symbolic of anova, of how a person speaks, the type of whether he raises his voice or not, the mannerism. As he says further, bekoil nomuch, person should speak in a lowly voice. What he means is an average voice. He means this means to speak, we whisper. But he means to speak in a low voice. Means not to be yelling and screaming. He said, "Kizeh." He says, "Midvar Shiflus," because this is an aspect of humility. Kama Shenemar, the way you speak is going to bring a posuk to show that also that the way you speak that really reflects whether a person is an onov or not. Posuk is in Yeshaya. Yeshaya says as follows. Yeshaya says, "Vishofalt." He said, "You will be low." Me'eretz. He says, "Tedaberi." You will speak from the ground. What do you mean, speak from the ground? It means speak from being from a low position, from a person who is humble. Me'eretz tedaberi. And he goes further and he says, Umeofar, he says, Tishach imroseich. And your speech will be from the dust. So again, so this clearly shows that the way that a person should speak to reflect another reflects the way, the manner of how a person speaks. In addition to that, says Yochai Tzedukim, V'lo yis'aseg b'noy ha'malbushim. A person should not be preoccupied with beautiful garments, which means things that are ostentatious, showy. A person should not be misasik, should not be preoccupied, said, with beautiful garments, he says, and with tachshitim, and all types of adornments, you know, tachshitim that one person puts upon himself. I should mention that, in fact, we'll stop for a moment, that the Rambam himself writes also in Hilchos Deis, and he says again, he speaks especially for a Talmud Chacham. He says, a malbush of a Talmud Chacham, the clothes that a Talmud Chacham wears, should be a malbush noah, should be something that is nice, v'noki, and clean. Rambam's Loshen is, which is actually Chazal, that osur lo sheyimso bibigdoi kesem, it is osur for a Talmud Chacham to have a stain on his clothing. It's osir. Or shamnunish, or some sort of a fat. That's some dripping from some food. It is osir. And he says further, but at the same time, says the Rambam, even though I'm saying that Tamchorim should be wearing respectable clothes, but not royal clothing. Shouldn't be ostentatious. Should be something that, you know, that makes you stop and look at what are you wearing. He says, V'lo yilbash le'malbish malochim. But nevertheless, he's a Talmud Chacham. We should wear respectable clothing, but not malbush malachim, not royal clothes like big day zov. Shahakum stakulim them. That's going to attract attention. It's going to attract the eye. But at the same time also, not malbush aniyim. Don't wear the clothing, right, of beggars, of aniyim, of downtrodden, of poor people. Shumavazes loifshov el begodim beinanim. It should be average clothing, noim, which are nice, respectable, and so on. Interesting thing is that Ramchal, Mishil Zishon, Pekut Gimel says, when the Torah talks about clothing, the Torah doesn't devote too much about clothing. The only thing the Torah talks about clothing is what not to wear is klayim, right? You're not to wear shatnes. So you go to the shatnes tester, which is basically, which are clothing of diverse fibers, right? You're not allowed to wear. So Ramchal says, so the Torah does not talk about anything else regarding clothing, because it's unnecessary. Because once the Torah tells you, it can't be a balgaive. Once the Torah tells you, in terms of what type of midos, so the type of clothing that you wear, automatically has to fit into the character traits of what you're supposed to do. So being that you know that you're supposed to be a nono, being that you know that you should not be a balgaive, right? So Mavela, the type of clothing you're going to wear certainly should not be something that shows that you are a balgaive. So it's not necessary, says Ramchal Mishil Zishorim, that the Torah should go into detail what kind of clothing to wear. Torah says, don't wear klayim, because that's something you can't figure out in your head. Don't wear klayim. So that's exactly what's a chaykes, right? We don't understand the reason, even though the reasons are given. But basically, Torah says, don't wear klayim, right? Diverse fibers you can't wear. However, regarding ostentatious clothing, showy clothing, flashing clothing, flashy clothing, these are things that are not necessary to write the right. Why? Because it fits into the pattern of appropriate midos. So being that we already know what the midos are, once you know what the midos are, so accordingly, you have to adjust yourself the type of clothing, as we see here from the Archa Tzadikim and from the Rambam, that a person has to be careful and he should basically wear beinoni, in the middle of the road type of clothing. And it goes further on to say, K'moy Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Eiv, the Pasuk says again, Vishach Einayim, he says, Yoshia. Kodesh Baruch Hu will save a person with downcast eyes, which again, it's a person not walking with air. And further on, he says, V'lo yis'asek b'tanugim, a person should not be into luxuries. That should not be what his life is all about. Kenyan Shenema, as the Pasuk says again in Mishle. In Mishle says, Tzadik oichel l'soiva nafshoi. It's tzadik is to satisfy his soul. That's what a person is. We had in the Shabbos here, in the Chumash, as a matter of fact, the Shabbos. We call it from the Rambam, the Shemoneh Prokim of the Rambam. And as I mentioned then also, many people don't even know where to find it. It's called the Shemoneh Prokim of the Rambam. So I mentioned, you want to find the Shemoneh Prokim of the Rambam, so you have to take out a Gemara in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. And in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, in the back, you have a lot of the small Mesechtes. You have Mesechtes Ovis, you have Mesechtes Kala, these other Mesechtes. The not regular Mesechtes. So Mesechtes Ovis, so the Agdoma of Mesechtes Ovis, the Rambam wrote 8 Prokim as Agdoma. 8 Prokim. It's called Shemoneh Prokim of Rambam. As I mentioned, not too many people went through it because the letters are so small that you need an extra pair of glasses for that, but recently had been reprinted, you know, in larger print, also with Nekudis underneath the letters. So the Rambam said it like this. He said, there's no problem, he says, for a person, he says, that, you know, in order to build up, he says, his morale, he wants to feel good, to avoid depression, so he's going to maybe drink some wine, or maybe he's going to go, he says, to visualize certain things that excite him. He may go and take a stroll, gardens, which have beautiful flowers. Maybe he wants to appreciate architecture, he wants to see beautiful buildings. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as he knows that's not his purpose in this world. In other words, it's important for a person to eat healthy. Rambam is very much, he reiterates that many, for the Rambam was a physician as well. It's a very important person. But to be healthy, he says, why? To be healthy, to better serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything that you do in life, he says. So when a person eats, he says, you enjoy your food? Sure enjoy your food. But you realize that's not your purpose for coming down in this world. It's for that reason. So the purpose is, yes, you can enjoy your food, that's fine. But that shouldn't be, he said, your primary purpose here in life. Primary purpose of life is to make you feel better. Why to feel better? Because the better you are of sound mind, the clearer you are, you're able all that much more to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mamela, you are able, no problem. You can benefit from many of the things that the world has to offer in a kosher way, but a person should remember that's not the tachlis though. As long as you realize that's not the tachlis. And we use the pasuk, but remember that the anshe kodesh tiyun li, that's how we explained. We had last week's parsha. What's the definition of anshe kodesh tiyun li? So he said that most people really translate it wrongly. And when I say wrongly, I shouldn't say wrongly, because the Targum says it that way, but the Mefarshim have problems with it. Traditionally, as I said, the Rebbe in Cheder, if he ever got that far in Chumash, I don't know if he got that far in Chumash, when you were learning Chumash, but the Anche Kodesh Inli is usually translated, you shall be holy people. And therefore it says, don't eat treif. You should be Anche Kodesh, holy people. The Targum says that. Anoshim Kadishin, holy people. So Rav Hirsch, and as well as the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah, they very strongly reject it. Because in Digduk, if it means holy people, it should say Anoshim Kedoshim. Anoshim Kedoshim means holy people. It says Anche Kodesh, means people of holiness. And I pointed out that Artsfall got it right. Old reliable. The Anche Kodesh, people of holiness. Do you want to be people of holiness? We're not talking about holy people. We're not talking about Malachim. It's what the Rambam means. You can be Isaac, you can be involved in many, many things, but the purpose should be for holiness. Anche Kodesh means that you can be involved in many things for the purpose of holiness. So we're not talking about necessarily holy people who separate themselves from this world. But people maybe will benefit from the things this world has to offer, but you're doing it for a holy purpose. Anche Kodesh means people of holiness. What does it mean, people of holiness? People of holiness means that what they do is to seek Hashem Kedusha, in order to bring out Kedusha, to promote Kedusha. That's what Anche Kodesh. So here again says here the Orche Tzadikim, as we're talking about. So all of these things now, as he pointed out, these are simone huanova, these are simonim of, he says, humility. So now, having said all this, says now the Orche Tzadikim, I want you to know, and I should by the way mention that with the Orche Tzadikim which we're talking about, that similarly is reiterated also the Ramchal in Sefer Mesil Shorim. See, Ramchal also has Shorim, Shar this, Shar that, and one of the Shorim is a Shar HaNovich. It's just like we're learning now the Orche Tzadikim Shar HaNovich. One can easily compare notes, many of the things, literally many of the things that Orche Tzadikim, but the Orche Tzadikim was way before, a few hundred years before the Ramchal, Ramchal was in the 1700s. So the Ramchal writes in Mesil Zisharim, he says, if a person focuses, he says, on the Tanugi Olam Hazeh, if a person focuses, that's his, to get all the more pleasure out of this world. I just quote you just 5-6 words. He says, Ein locho Tanug Olami. He says, there's no pleasure in this world, Ashlo Yimshech Achrov Ezechet Ba'akevoy. In other words, if you get involved, he says, in Tanugi Olam Hazeh, is going to have to, somewhere, somehow, is going to drag in some sort of an Aveira. Because if you focus on that. Because pleasure involves everything. The world is open. So open. So maybe if you're focusing, he says, on Tanugi Olam Hazeh, the pleasure that this world has to offer, he says, it's impossible that somewhere and somehow it's not going to drag you in some Aveira along with it. So that's why the Ramchal points out, among the things, that a person should not focus on Tanugi. Yes, the person has to feel well, has to feel good, everything like that. But realize that's not your focus. The focus is not on the Tanugi Olam Hazeh. Because if you're into Tanugi Olam Hazeh, if that is your focus, that becomes the tachlis of your life, it's impossible, he said, that it shouldn't lead you astray, to lead you into chet. Ein lechot Tanugi Olam Hazeh, yimshach achreo, he says, eize chet, he says, ba'akevoy. So here we go further now. Huanova. He says, Anova, he says, humility. I want you to know, says Yochad Tzadikim, that is the Sulam Lalois Ledarke HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anova really is, that is the ladder. If a person wants to find a medium, yeah, you have to climb a lot of steps, yeah? So what are the steps to reach greater heights in Avodas Hashem? What is the ladder? There's so many mitzvahs, there's so many things that you can do. The ladder, he says, is Anova. The ladder is the Anova, is the ladder, he says, that a person should be able to rise and to go from step to step. He says, Ledarke HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ledarke HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, V'holachto Bedrochov. It says, V'holachto Bedrochov, that a person has a chiv to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the ladder that will allow you to follow in the ways of Hashem, right, to the greatest extent possible? The ladder to be able to do that is through the mid of Anova, as he quotes the Pesuk Shenemar, it says in Tehillim. In Tehillim it says, Yadrech Anovim Bamishpot. It means Hadrocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches the people that have humility, right? It says, Yadrech Anovim Bamishpot, for he guides the humble in justice. Yadrech Anovim Bamishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides, right? Those people are humble in justice. The Yalamed Anovim Darkoi, and he teaches the humble his way. So you see that what teaches his way? Humble. If you want to know Derech Hashem, so what is the ladder? The ladder for Derech Hashem is Anovim. Because Baruch will teach the Anovim. And And as it says, and by the way, the Malbim says, interesting thing, we have a posik, it says, Soyd Hashem Lireyov, that the great tzaddikim know things with Ruach HaKodesh, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them the yediyah, gives them that knowledge. Kodesh Baruch Hu like plants that knowledge into their mind. So the Malbim says that this is also, if a person has the midah of anova, v'yelamid anovim darkoi, that he will be inspired to know what is the right thing. That Kodesh Baruch Hu will teach him, and he'll become inspired to know what Hashem wants from him, because he is an onov. And he says, u'memeno yagi alahasig yiras Hashem Baruch Hu. And through anova, he will come to true Yerushamayim. Through anova, he will come to true Yerushamayim. Shenemar Apostik says in Mishle, ekev anova, the result of humility, what's the result of it? Yiras Hashem. That's fear of Hashem. So Meila said, this is the Inya of Anova. So the truth is that as is brought down in the Sefer Chassidus, that you see the Rebbe Meilech in Noam HaLamelech, as well as the Koshin Samagit, brings in the Sefer Avodas Yisrael. He points out that Baruch Hu created a man with two eyes, human being, two eyes, animals also, but they're a different breed altogether. But what was the idea that Baruch Hu gave a person two eyes for? Like you created two eyes. By the way, the Rishalmi brings down, why didn't Kodesh Baruch Hu give a person two mouths? Imagine you have two cell phones. Imagine with having two mouths. Yeah, I know people with one mouth and they have two cell phones. I don't know how they do it, but this is the way it is. But two ears. But upon him, this is the way it is. So the Rishalmi says, Kodesh Baruch Hu, because he asked a good question, he says, it would have been better, Reb Shimon Yehoi asked a question, wouldn't it make sense, a person should have two mouths, one mouth he would use to do mitzvahs, to speak, to daven, to learn, and his other mouth would be for secular things. Wouldn't it be better? It would be much better like that. The mouth for Kedusha, right, would not be tainted. Create a person with two mouths, one mouth would be for Divrei Kodesh, and the other mouth would be for Divrei Chol. So Reb Shimon Yehoi answers, if you would have two mouths, you would have used both for secular. You would not have divided up one here, one there. So you have one mouth, now make the best of it and use it appropriately. Guard your tongue and be careful and do the right things, say the right things, and only use it in the way Kodesh Baruch Hu intended you to do it. The power of speech is a tremendous matona. That's what that defines the human being. Kodesh Baruch Hu blew, Vayipo Bapov Nishmas Chaim, Vayi Hodom Lenefesh Chaim, man became a living being. What does the Targum say? Became a living being? Someone is able to speak, L'ruach Memallah. That is unique, the power of speech. And that's a big matona, and therefore it cannot be abused and should not be abused. So here it is. So the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, the Noam HaLamelech says, and as well as the Koshin Samagid, others bring as well, the Sefer Chassidus talk about it a lot. He said, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a person two eyes. One eye is to see the godless of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the other eye is to recognize Shiflus Atzmoy. To recognize how far a person is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to recognize the truth is, Vus is a mensch. Call my mensch, right? That's what he is. To knock the guy out of his head, to really recognize. He has to recognize his matzahs, his shiflus atzmoy, and at the same time also to recognize the godless Hashem, the godless Aboyre. As a matter of fact, Sefer Chassidus point out that the more a person recognizes godless Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, that'll bring him to humility. If you really recognize, if you take time to think about it, because he really realized the godless Hashem, says, what's a human being compared to godless Hashem? He sees what true greatness is. That'll bring him to shiflus atzmoy. So the Noam HaMelech says that the idea of the two eyes is one eye is to see godless Hashem, see the greatness of Hashem, and the other eye is to see your shiflus atzmoy, to see your lowliness, to see where you're at. No. So they point out the following thing, interesting thing. You know, when it came to Bilam was blind in one eye. Bilam was Shisum Ha'ayin, was blind in one eye. What's the pshat? He only saw godless Hashem. He was a novi, he was a prophet. He saw godless Hashem, but he didn't see the other thing. He didn't see his lowliness. He was a big Balgaiva. He thought he's also so very, very great. So he was blind in one eye, meaning he only saw the one eye. He only saw godless Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, till the last day, one might think that Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, was a great onov, but maybe at the end of his life, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu leaves this world on the highest level of achievement of human being, maybe he left this world with a little bit of gaiva. Look what I achieved. Look what I accomplished. So the Pesuk says, like kahasa enoi, that even that other eye did not fade. In other words, the eye that you're supposed to look at, shiflus atzmoi, Moshe Rabbeinu, that single eye, should have said, like kahasa enov. His eyes didn't dim. It says his eye didn't dim. It means that eye, but shiflus atzmoi, that eye didn't dim. It stayed the way it was the whole time. It was always to the last minute. He left this world as an onov, as he was all his life, even though he left as the greatest human being ever. But kahasa eina. But that's the idea that they talk about, many, many things they discuss about the idea of the two eyes. One eye to recognize the greatness of Hashem, and the other eye to look at yourself, how far removed you are. So, Hashchina shoyva al anovim. The Shechina rests on people that are anovim. The Shechina rests on people who are humble. Shenema the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Eshkoin vezdako ushfal ruach. It says, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know where you find me? As Dako, those people who are the despondent ones, which means the people who are the downtrodden. Shval Ruach, people are lowly of spirit. I'm not talking about depressed people. Should never be depressed. That's not the meaning. The meaning is people really recognize, in fact, that they are just human beings, and whatever they have, all the milas, everything, of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to them, and then they don't become swell-headed. That's the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu rests. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as he points out, Hita Shechinosoi al Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu decided to give the Torah on Har Sinai, which is a small mountain, the Yorad Lamata, Kodesh Baruch Hu came down. The Hiniyah Kol HaHorim HaGvoim, as we know, he left and abandoned all the mighty mountains, right? And his court decided to give the Torah where? On Har Sinai. Why? To show the Midah of Anova. Right? So they also say, Moshe Kibul Torah, right? Moshe was Makabal Torah, he says, Misinai. And they said, Takim, Misinai means to say, is Misinai, that he also continuously always learned from Sinai. Misinai, he always learned the lesson of Sinai, that what? That Kodesh Baruch Hu had the bravery, had the choice, could have given the Torah so many mighty mountains, but he gave it in Har Sinai. By the way, the Baal HaTanya once pointed out, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, chose a small mountain, Har Sinai, to show Anova, that a person should be humble. Why give it on a mountain at all? Give it on flat land. A mountain, Har Sinai, was a small mountain, but it was still a mountain. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to show Anova, wants to teach us humility. Don't give it at all on a mountain. Give it on flat land. Why give it on a mountain, even a small mountain? If you want to show humility, so the Baal HaTanya points like this. You know when the midah of Anova, you know when the character trait of Anova, humility, you know when it really is truly demonstrated? When a person really has a lot, right? Has a lot of milas. A person has achieved a lot. A person might, let's say, be wealthy in that world. A person may be intelligent, and yet he's a nonov. If a person really is not intelligent, he's not smart, he has nothing to show for it, so what's the big deal you're a nonov? In other words, if you're flat, there's no big deal to be a nonov. If you're a mountain, you have something. You have something to be tall about. You have something to be, and still you're a nonov. You're low. That's the idea. And even says when you really, you have substance, there is something that you could have shown off with, and you don't. That's what's that. If you have nothing really to show off with, and still you're Balgaiva, what does that mean? So, that's the nekuda. So he points out further, and he says, "Uksiv the pasuk says." Pasuk says here again, Yeshaya. Hokitzu v'rananu shoych neyofor. When Mashiach will come, then those who are sleeping, which means the people who are in their graves, will wake up. Right? They will wake up. Hokitzu v'rananu, and they will sing. In other words, awaken and sing shoych neyofor. Those who dwell in the dust. Shoych neyofor. What shoych neyofor means? Those that, when they were alive, they were neighbors to offer. They were close to the dust, which means to say is that they were humble. And the pasuk says, because kital oiro is talecho, because your dew, the Jew, because Baruch Hu will make tchis ameisim, the Gemara says, he will sprinkle a special dew, a special towel upon the neftarim, and they'll become rejuvenated. So it says, those people are shoich neyofor, those people are close to the dust, kital oiro is talecho. Your due is the due of revival. Your due is the due of revival. Mishenase shochin offer b'chayim b'olamazeh. A person was a neighbor to offer. When he was alive, he was a neighbor to offer. Is yichya lo'olam abo. Uksiv in the Pasuk says, Ki roma Hashem v'shofel yiro. Kodesh Baruch Hu was high, and yet what does he look? He looks down to see the lowly. Umi shemesim liboy kibosar. A person who makes his heart as soft as flesh, Tfilos and Ishmas. An extra advantage is Kvash who listens to the tfilos of such a person. The person who's an honor of a Kvash who listens to his tfilos. The Chsivit says, Yovoi kol boso lishtachvois lefonai. Let all flesh come to bow down before me, Omar Hashem. Uksiv in the Pasuk says, Shomea tfilo, odecho kol boso yuvoi. We say it in Slichis. Kvash Baruch Hu hears the prayer, right, of all the flesh that come to you. Right, so this is the idea again that the Orach HaTzadikim points out of all the various different madrigas, all the different milas that we can get, of course, through the midah of Anova. So now, rabbis, let's take a look a little bit at the sheet, and we find out a few in Yonim here, very interesting things. The interesting thing, just want to mention that the Baal HaTanya had a son, Reb Dov Ber, who was known as the Mittler Rebbe. Baal HaTanya, had a son, Reb Doiber. Reb Doiber, he was the second Rebbe of in the line of Chabad, and he said, related that his situation, he said, that he had when he met Rabbi Kiveger. So it speaks about the occasion that he had to meet Rabbi Kiveger, as you know, also was very well known. We spoke about quite a number of times, a great anivis. I mean, the great Goyen Rabbi Kiveger, I mean, every Adam Godel is supposed to be an honor, but particularly what stood out for everything, Rabbi Kiveger is known, particularly, to an anivis to the extreme. So the Rabbi Doiber, the son of the Balatanya, said, we spoke about related regarding his experience with Rabbi Kiveger, and he said that Kiveger says, Yid Tzadik, with very, very simple clothing, he said, very, very simple clothing, and he received us with great kavod, he says, Rabbi Kiveger. And one of the letters Rabbi Kiveger writes, he says that I would like to be freed from my position as a Rav. In other words, he didn't feel that he's worthy of a position of a Rav. And also he says, because who says, he says, that a person should have to wear such choshev clothing as I wore? And he said he wore the cheapest clothing of anything. Kiveger felt that even that might be a little bit too much for him. And he points out again to say that we saw, he was in awe, he says, that the God of Kiveger, he didn't even realize what kind of an honor he was. It was just an amazing thing to see. So here we're going to see something of the Chassam Sofer that we have here on the sheet. If that's anything, there's a sefer called Chuta Mishulish that was written by a grandson of the Chassam Sofer many, many years ago. And he relates some personal, many, many things about the godless of the Chassam Sofer, as well also there's a whole section regarding Kiveger. So this is also brought down the Sefer Chuta Mishulish, also brought down the Sefer Tseis HaShemish B'Gvorosoy, that talks about the Inyonim of Anivis and Midois. So it brings as follows, a very fascinating thing. Rish Moshe Onov, Savlin, we had in the last weeks, Orech Sadikim, that spoke about the idea of an Onov to be patient, to be tolerant. That's one of the major, major key factors in terms of being an Onov. So he talks about here, look here about the regarding Chassam Sofer, and he points out the following Maaseh. He said, Beer Pressburg, he says, his Goyra Yehudi, he says, London. In the city of Pressburg, they lived a year in London. However, Achlokuri, he says, Ma'oid b'midoisa. But he was tremendously deficient in his midos. So here you have a London, you have a Talmud Chacham, who's deficient in midos. Very bad thing. You know which way? Which way? In many ways, but particularly, he points out, B'chopam sh'yinichnas l'beis morad asra. Every time he would go into the house of the Morad Asr of the Rav, that's Rav Moshe Sofer, Balakstam Sofer, so take a B'tseisoi, right, as soon as he would leave, Hoy Mizdaris Harav Lekacha Sefer Musar V'loy Miboy. He points out that the Chassam Sofer, really, he felt that being just me on the company, this person was so deficient to me, though, the Chassam Sofer felt that when this person left my house, I had to take a Musar Sefer in order to build myself back. So the Sofer felt that he had a Yerida being next to this person. This person was so deficient in midos, so the Sofer felt that I had Ashpo on him. That's some sort of influence, even a slight influence. The B said in the Dalai Lama of such a person, says, you have to build your Kedusha back again. So the Sofer would take a Musa Sofer, ki hirgish, because he was margish, but noichich oisodim zeh, his karuris b'yir shemayim. He felt he lost the b'yir shemayim. So the Sofer felt that being in the, right, being, standing next to this person, he felt that some of his b'yir shemayim has sort of faded. And therefore he has to rebuild his Yerushalayim. He has to strengthen his Yerushalayim. And he would say to the people who are very close to him, Hevel piv shalodim zed metame. Hear this? What comes out of this person's mouth makes you tame. So if I'm speaking to this person, I received some of that so-called tumah, and I have to therefore cleanse myself. By the way, they put it in the brackets. So imagine, here the Sofer felt that being next to this person, he becomes tame, and yet he let him come into the house. You can imagine, you'd lock the door and throw him out. It shows even the covered abrius of the Chassam Sofer as well, that he had, the respect that he had for other human beings. He points out here, Yeshli Shtoimim, it's astonishing, on Adregis covered abrius of Chassam Sofer, that respect he had for human beings, Sha'af Odom Kazes Soval, he was tolerant. He was tolerant, even such a person, V'leimona Raglov Mebeso, he didn't stop him from coming into his house. Okay, that's the side factor. Anyway, you bring it to this. Pam, he says, Porga Odom Zeb Bekovet Chassam Sofer. Because the story with this person, you know, mainly he was deficient in midos, you know, between other people is one thing. But he was deficient in midos, and actually he attacked the Chassam Sofer. He did something terrible against the covet of the Chassam Sofer. What did he do? The story was as follows. In Yeshiva Pressburg, the custom was, Kishibokha, he says, his choinein linsoya libikur lebeis hoirov. Let's say at the end of the Zman, or whenever, let's say Bokha, people used to come from all over. He used to come from all over distant cities to learn B'dach Sam Sofer. When a bacher had to leave yeshiva to go back, so what he would do is, when he took farewell of B'dach Sam Sofer, it's a gezegen, right? He went to B'dach Sam Sofer. B'dach Sam Sofer would give him sort of like a package for the road, Tzeda L'derech. What was this package? The package was, he'd give him a Dvar Torah. So take something home with you. Take a special Dvar Torah that I'm giving you. You have to take it with you. And take it back to your hometown. And maybe repeat it. That was the custom. So the custom was that when a bacher would leave yeshiva to go to his parents, of course he would ask Rishus if he could leave. This dam nezu, right? This opportunity, the bacher was custom, and the bacher would ask the Rebbe, give me tzedel aderach, give me some food for the way, give me spiritual food. And he should tell him a dvar Torah, if it's a chiddush, something new. After all, the Gemara says, when two people, right, bid farewell, they should leave, right, there should be some Dvar Torah, because you'll remember it. When people depart, if there's a Dvar Torah that they leave with, then you can remember each other through the Dvar Torah that was discussed. Fine. So it was customary that a bacher, any bacher that would leave yeshiva, would ask a Dvar Torah for Machsam Sofer. Now, Pam Bevoy Echod, he says, Habacherim Lipor Machsam Sofer. Turns out that once one of the bacherim had to leave, Ukeragil, as was usual, Hishmi Eloi Dvar Chiddush, Chum Sofer told him a Chiddush. Now, Oysai Talmud, interestingly, now, I just want to mention, the Talmud's hometown that he's going to, the Rav of the hometown where the Talmud is going to, was a relative to this Lamdan who was deficient in Midos. Alright, let's get the picture here. Okay, here you have a Lamdan living in Presburg, who is deficient in Midos. Here you have a Bacher who's leaving yeshiva, going back to his hometown. The Rav of that hometown is a relative to the Lamdan in Presburg who's deficient in Midos. Now, he was, Oysai Talmud hoy Rav ir Maladatoi. The Rav of his hometown was Kroivo Shaloysa Barnash Mushchis. The Rav, right, of the Bacher's hometown was a relative to this Mushchis. Omar Talmud, he says, Lifnei She'esa, the Talmud felt, very innocently, it's appropriate. I'm going back to my hometown. The Rav of my hometown is a relative, right, to this Mushchis. So maybe I should tell the Mushchis that I'm leaving. He didn't call him Mushchis. I should tell this Mushchis that I'm leaving, so I'll be able to bring regards. It's a relative. The Rav is a relative. So maybe now that I'm leaving, so I'm going to go tell this Mushchis that I'm leaving, and to be able to bring regards back to his relative, who's the Rav in the other town. This is what the Talmud made a cheshbon. So the Talmud said, Lifnei she'esa, before I travel, Ekonit lebarnash, I'll go to this person, he's the Mushchis, Kedei she'yuchal limser darki drisha sholem, she'll be able to give regards, Likroivoi, Rav ir maladati, went to the Rav of the hometown. Kashabo elof, that's what happened. So the Talmud goes to the Mushchis, I'm calling him Mushchis, so he goes to the Mushchis, and the Mushchis hears that he's leaving, so shola elof, so the Mushchis says, if you're leaving, I'm sure the Chum Sofer gave you a chiddush. Because that's the way it was. Anytime a bacher left, so the Mushchis said, tell me the chiddush that the Chasam Sofer told you. The Mushchis told the Talmud, tell me the chiddush that the Chasam Sofer told you. So he says to him, Eizeh Dvar Torah Omar Lecha Toharav. So what was the Dvar Torah that the Chasam Sofer told you? Omar Lecha Bacher, so he said, chiddush. He told him the chiddush. B'nasa Lebeisoy. And he goes home. He travels home. Listen to this. After many weeks, Nechnes Oyse Barnash Lebeisach Chasam Sofer. This person, imagine what a Mushchis he was. He goes into the house of the Chasam Sofer, the Yishmila, and he goes to the Sofer and says to the Chasam Sofer, he says, I have a Chiddush to tell you. And he tells over the Chasam Sofer the Chiddush that the Chasam Sofer told the Talmud. He makes it look like, the Mushchis made it look like that was his Chiddush. The Mushchis made it look like that. He makes a Spiel Tam. Playing like a Tam. He's going to the Chasam Sofer. Rabbi, I have a Chiddush to tell you. And he's telling over the Chasam Sofer that Chiddush that he heard from the Talmud, which was really the Chasam Sofer's Chiddush. So he said to the Sofer, he said, that he heard right from the Bacher, but also Atzmoy, and he made himself, the Mushchis made it, he posed, Ki ilu hu Atzmoy, Ki ilu hu Chiddush Adover, as it was his Chiddush. Chasam Sofer said right away, Chasam Sofer didn't hesitate, he said, listen, that's my Chiddush. Says to him, Omer Chasam Sofer, he said, Miyad, Dvar Torah Zeh Yotzeh Miti. And Chasam Sofer is very smart, and I'm positive you heard it from the Bacher to whom I told it to. I'm positive, he says, Belisofik Shemato Oysom Mipi HaBacher, Ployni, from that Bacher before he left, right? He kept quiet because he knew that Chasam Sofer is right. So you think that he'll forget about it? You think that the mushkes now will stop it? The mushkes still is mushkes. So what happened? This is what happened. Lachas man ma. After quite a while later, Shohak Samsofer spent time l'shem havro in order to, for health purposes, be'ir rochso, in one of the bathing spas. It was very common. Gedol Yisrael would go Mariam Bad, Karl's Bad. It's called rochso, bad. Places for bathhouses, mineral baths. All this was very, very common. You'd find it, by the way, there'd be Gedol Yisrael from all over, from Litva, from Poyum. That's where the Imre Emes met with Ochanav Asaman. No, two different worlds apart. Where would they meet? They need to meet in these places. It was in Marienbad or in Karlsbad. These are the places you meet Gedol Yisrael from all over, because everybody needed the same health benefits. So they'd all come to those places. And it was also, by the way, as a side, people knew that you're going to meet all the great people there as well. So this was a common place, a meeting place, where you'd meet many, many great people. Some Sofer spends time in one of the bath places. And one of the other Gedol Yisrael was there, Ramotche Benet. Motche Benet was a tremendous goyin and tzaddik. Shom Shoha also spent time, Gam Ramotche Benet, goyin abes in Nicholsburg, the Rav of Nicholsburg, was also there. Kshenimnu ha-gdoilim, kshenipgishu ha-gdoilim, and the gdoilim met, so he points out, next we shom svivon tamir ha-chomim. So, many tamir ha-chomim, imagine, you see some sofer with Ramotche Benet standing side by side. So imagine, so wherever you find tamir ha-chomim, they want to go, they become attached. They become attached right away to these two great people, the Chassam Sofer and the Mordechai Benet. So Talmid HaChachamim writes around themselves. And guess what? That Mushkes was also there. The Pegishizu, by this meeting, the Chassam Sofer meets Mordechai Benet. Chassam Sofer tells them a Chiddush. What is Chiddush the thing he told them? He tells them the Chiddush, that Chiddush that he told the Talmud, who told it to the Mushkes. Some Sofer again, but must have been a very gvaldig chiddush. Of all the chiddushim, he decides to say that chiddush to Ramotche Benet. He said that chiddush. So some Sofer says, "Hishmiach some Sofer lit near Ramotche as oisud v'chiddush sheomrot mikvar labocher." Now they said to Labocher, before the some Sofer was managed to finish the chiddush, when he siyim devoroi, loy boish oisah chotzev. This mechutzev was not embarrassed, and the Rabbi Misetrim said, "Rabbi, that chiddush is mine." So he's saying it in mind, all the Talmid HaChachamim are there. Some Sofer says a Chiddush, and he makes it look like some Sofer stole it from him. Rebbe says, that Chiddush is mine! And not only that, the Mushkes even gives a date, chapter and verse and time. Don't you remember it was the Chiddush or the Beis? He says, that's where I said it, you were there. And he says, he reminds him, he says, Shabbi Employini, he says, he got it the Adover, I said it to you in your house. He's even telling him, I told you in your house. Kloimer, she also says some soifer mispoyer benutzus losh. He made some soifer look right, as if really he is boasting and ingratiating himself with plagiarism. He's taking away a chiddush belongs to somebody else and saying it in his own name. Some soifer did not say a word. Did not answer. People are looking around. Anybody who was standing there might have the impression maybe this is what happened. Maybe some soifer heard it from this other guy. Did not answer the shakran anything. Ulam Lashoim, but the Shoimim, by the way, they knew the truth. I mean, even though were not aware by firsthand, but you could imagine this cannot be true. And it bothered them that this Mechutzev really opened his mouth to try to embarrass the Chassam Sofer Barabim. So Chorulam Oid, but over it. They got very upset. When everybody left, only remained the two Gedoilim, Chassam Sofer with Ramor Chibanet. Right? They began, you know, they continued to speak. He said, not to be choishish. Sochach some soifer and soifer told, the only one he told later when nobody was there. Some soifer told Ramotche, how this chiddush ended up by this mushkes. I told it to the Talmud, and the Talmud told it to him, and since then he's walking around. So the only person that Chassam Sofer told to is Ramotche Benet, but for all the people that are around, he never told it. Ramotche Benet became so, he says, it's ragish Ramotche. Ramotche became so, he says, unbelievably emotional, that he got up from his chair and says, tell me the rabbi of Pittsburgh, Yoyman Oli Aram in Pittsburgh, where did you get such power of restraint? I want to find out. I want to work on this kind. Where does a person have such restraint to be able to hold back and not to be able to respond in such a situation? So again, this is what we saw in the Orchid Tzaddikim, what Savalon means. This is the ultimate koyach of Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Salanty. We have 3 more minutes. Let me just conclude that, you know, you're talking about kovod ha'adam, but the kovod of a human being. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen were instructed to take a minyan, to take a census of the Yidden in the Midbar, we had it quite a few times. Parshas by Midbar talks about, right, so is Rosh Kol B'nai Yisrael, right, to go and take the count, to take the census of the B'nai Yisrael. So the Lashon that it says, you might remember, it says that they should be counted, it says, the Mispar Shemois, is by the number of names. What does it mean? Count them by the number of names. So over there, regarding, so the Ramban explains, you know what it means by the number of names? It means to say is that Moshe and Aharon, listen to this, Moshe and Aharon, let's say they wanted to find out how many members are in the family. So you could imagine that Moshe and Aharon would go knock on the door, right? And the head of the household would come out, right? And say, how many people do you have there? And the head of the household would say, well, we have 5 people. So now you know number 5. That's not the way it went. Moshe Rabbeinu would not simply approach the head of the household and ask how many people in the family, but he was to treat each individual, says Ramban, bikovod ubigdula. Each individual would be treated with honor and dignity, which means that every person that had to be counted had to appear before Moshe and Aharon. Because you have self-worth. You are an entity. You have cheshivas. Would have been much, much easier, right? Knock on the door, the head of the household, and just ask him, how many members do you have? The mispar shemois. The mitzvah shemesh means to say is that each individual, right, who carries a name is to be counted individually. Not merely, it says collectively, tell us how many people you have in the family. But to show that each individual has tremendous honor and dignity, right, he had to appear in front of Moshe and Aharon and his name was registered in the count. Which means to say is that we may be sometimes a people of millions, could be a people of millions, but we're a nation of individuals. That's what it is. A nation of individuals, which means that every and each individual is entitled to covet, to respect, and recognition. That's what Ramban teaches us with B'mispar Shemus. So, just want to mention just this Nakuda, that regarding this Indian, Rabbi Feuer, you know, he's many years ago he spoke in Ashul Malav Malke, many years ago. He's now in Eretz Yisrael, by the way. He's a Rav in Shari Chesed, in one of the in Kal Chasidim in the. Actually, many years ago I spoke in Ashul too, so it's like Midi Keneged Mida. So it was on a Chanukah. So anyway, so of course you know that he was son of Rav Gifter. So he took him once to a noted ophthalmologist in Brooklyn. And the ophthalmologist was sort of a shtickle Talmud Chochem as well. And he was a renowned doctor. So in the course of a conversation, so Rabbi Foy mentions a interesting interpretation of the Radak on Tehillim. Very interesting. The Ramelech says, he's asking Kosh Baruch Hu to protect him. The Ramelech says the following words. Shomreini says, Ki ishon bas oyin. He's saying Shomreini ki ishon basoyin, which means protect me like the pupil, right, of the eye. Everybody knows that the pupil of the eye is very sensitive. So the Ramelech describes, right, his plea to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shomreini, protect me, guard me. Ki ishon, right, last question, ki ishon basoyin. Ki ishon basoyin means like the pupil of the eye. Radak writes, why does ishon mean pupil? Ishon basoyin, the pupil of the eye. What's the shoyrish of the word ishon, right? What's the shoyrish of the word ishon to mean pupil? Ayin is eye. So Radak says, because the shoyrish of the word pupil ishon is the word ish. Now ish of course means a man, right? Ish means a man. But you realize, when you look into the pupil of another person, he sees, right? You see a reflection of yourself. If you look into the pupil of another person, you see a reflection of yourself. Ish. But there's one difference. And what the difference is? Radak points out that the truth is, when you look into the pupil of it, you see yourself as a small man. Ish is a large man. Ishoin means a small person. The pupil is ishoin, because when you look into the pupil, you see a small person. When you look into the pupil of an eye, you see a reflection of yourself in miniature form. Ishoin. Ishoin ish is a regular man. Ishoin, says Radak, means a smaller person. So, if you look into somebody else's eyes, so the reflection that you see, you appear, right, to being a small person. So when hearing this, Radak, Rav Gifter responded. Like he said, there's a great lesson, he says, to be learned, he says. He said, when you look, he says, at somebody else, But they are cloud. When you look at somebody else, you tend to view yourself as superior. That's human nature. Usually, when you look at somebody else, you tend to view yourself as superior, deserving honor, deserving recognition. Says Rav Gifter, but that's not the proper respect perspective. So when a person sees another person, you should really consider that the other person should be superior, right? And you should be able to find more virtues in the other person than in yourself. So he says, a person looking at another person should regard himself the way he sees himself in the pupil. You're smaller. The other person's thing. That is the lesson he says. So if you have this kind of an attitude, again, this is always trying to find out the inyo where the mid of another comes into every aspect. Ishoin, that's the pupil. You see yourself as a small person, because when you're looking at somebody else, you tend to think you're greater than him. No, look into the pupil, and that's the way you should view yourself. And that is, again, another chizuk in the middle of another.